You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Holy Week 2026. Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting for this first week of April 2026, Holy Week. A lot to talk about on this report for this week. But first, let's begin with some scripture, the Holy Word. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for us who trust in Him. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 tells us that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The Religious Liberty Report, where we don't strive to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. We're hoping to help equip you to understand and articulate your Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, winsome, yet bold, uncompromising, and of course, committed to God's Word as our guide. We are in a culture of confusion. No points of reference. Objective facts, divine truth are routinely subordinated to emotion, public opinion, personal opinion, and beliefs. We also try to get behind the headlines with analysis but always approaching the issues from a biblical Christian worldview. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we read, "And be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you." Be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you, within me. And most often there is a cost to providing and expressing this reason within us. And we find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. On the air, the Religious Liberty Report, working to keep America open to God's truth, analyzing the headlines from a biblical worldview. Working to help equip believers, churches, on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that often disagrees with our message. You know, the separation of church and state was never meant to create a wall that removes people of faith or religious organizations from participation in public life. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. We must work to keep America open to God's truth by doing just that. By being ready, ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And I've learned that being ready means having prepared in advance, having repeated the exercise or the motions so many times in advance that at the moment of need, in the moment, you can rely on that memory, those many rehearsals, reflections, meditations, and prayers. Getting to the heart of the matter. I read this. Jesus did not participate in civil rights or crusade to abolish injustice. Jesus preached a saving gospel so that once a man's soul or a woman's soul is right with God, it really matters very little what the externals may be. Jesus wasn't interested in externals, a new world or social order, but in a new spiritual order. And he called it the church. And now the church is mandated to carry on the same kind of ministry, to focus on our hearts, minds, and souls. I found this. How the devil gets us to disbelieve the promises of God. How the devil tricks us in disbelieving God, not trusting in our Heavenly Father. I read this. The devil does not waste his time trying to get you to worship him. No, he just convinces us not to worship God. He tells us that truth is relative, your truth, my truth, any truth, until nobody knows which way is up or down. He would whisper that as long as you're happy, that's what really matters. That's right, I'll keep you busy, too busy for prayer, too busy for church, too busy to ask eternal questions. I'd fill your hands with a phone so you'd never have time to fold them in prayer. I'd break families, make fathers absent, marriage bitter, kids confused. If I can fracture the home, I can fracture the future, divide the church with petty arguments. If I can get Christians fighting each other, they'll never fight me. I would desensitize you. I'd glamorize sin in movies, normalize it in music, laugh at it in comedy, and celebrate it in culture. I'd make you question who you are, where you belong, and whether you matter. I'd whisper shame so loud you couldn't hear God's voice, his voice of love. And through it all, I wouldn't even try to prove that I exist as the devil. My greatest trick is to convince you I'm not real. The devil. Getting us to disbelieve in the promises of God. Getting us to believe that he's not real. And this, just in. President Donald Trump, honoring Jesus Christ by name from the White House, saying, quote, "He died for all of us, it was a miracle in all of history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ." President Donald Trump, honoring Jesus Christ by name from the White House during this Holy Week, 2026. Let's listen.
On Good Friday, the Son of God was nailed to the cross, crucified, and he died for all of us. It was a day of darkness, but it wasn't the end. By any means, it was not the end. On Easter Sunday, the stone was rolled away and the grave was empty. Christians everywhere rejoiced, and we continue to rejoice. Easter is one of the incredible days. It was the miracle in all of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was one of the great, it was the great miracle, I guess, right? He told his followers, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Because of the events of Holy Week 20 centuries ago, people from every nation, language, and background can take on any difficulty, press through any trial, and endure any hardship. With Christ, not one thing can separate humanity from the powers of God's everlasting love. Across the generations, what happened on Easter has inspired his followers to love one another, to forgive, to do works of charity, and build the beautiful churches. And we have some of the most beautiful buildings in the world. To me, churches, I love great architecture. We have some of the most beautiful our churches. Christians have opened schools, ministries, and hospitals on every continent to teach care and heal those in need. and they do it with love, and they do it with great affection.
President Donald Trump commenting on the resurrection this Holy Week 2026. Whether you agree with him, whether I agree with him on everything or not, it's a blessing to hear the president honoring Jesus Christ by name from the White House. The miracle of all history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God bless America. Turning the page on the report, first week of April 2026, the U.S. Supreme Court strikes down Colorado's conversion therapy ban for minors. This past week, on Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its decision in Childs v. Salazar, a free speech case involving Kaylee Childs, a Christian therapist. Childs challenged a Colorado law that restricted her ability to provide counseling consistent with her beliefs and her client's goals. Justice Neil Gorsuch, writing for the 8-1 majority, stated that Colorado's 2019 law, which prohibited certain forms of talk therapy for minors, violated the First Amendment. The ruling has big implications for over 20 states that have similar laws in place. According to the court's majority, states cannot legally use their licensing laws to limit the topics that counselors, therapists can discuss with their clients. Justice Gorsuch explained, "The First Amendment stands as a bulwark against any effort to prescribe an orthodoxy of views, reflecting a belief that each American enjoys an inalienable right to speak his mind and a faith in the free marketplace of ideas as the best means for finding truth. Laws like Colorado's, which suppress speech based on viewpoint, represent an egregious assault on both commitments." Justice Gorsuch, writing the majority opinion in Childs v. Salazar, 8-1 decision. The court's decision clearly vindicating Christian counselors, long claiming that these bans on Christian counseling or talk therapy unfairly restricts their right to free speech. These laws have required mental health professionals in certain states to operate within a quote-unquote gender-affirming care framework when working with minors. These statutes have been drafted so broadly and don't provide exemptions for pastors or Christian counselors acting in a religious capacity. And this obviously raised concerns, First Amendment concerns, and they were brought to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court got it right, marking the third significant loss for the state of Colorado in cases involving religious liberty. In 2018, the court sided with Christian baker Jack Phillips in Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, finding evidence of hostility towards Jack Phillips' religious beliefs. The Supreme Court again in 2023 held that web designer Lori Smith could not be forced to create expressive content that violated her sincerely held religious beliefs. And now the court has sided with Christian counselor Kaylee Childs. So that's 3-3. This week, the Supreme Court ruling a basic concept that the state of Colorado had put forward a law that banned what they call conversion therapy. This 2019 Colorado law prohibited licensed counselors from engaging in therapy with minors that might include attempts to change that minor's sexual orientation or his gender identity. Any counseling, any effort to change behaviors or gender expressions were prohibited, made illegal in the state of Colorado. Counselors could not counsel minor children on how to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attractions towards individuals of the same sex. The same law allows counselors to provide, quote, acceptance, support, and understanding for identity, exploration, and development, and to assist persons, quote, undergoing gender transition. So, in other words, the Colorado law said that if a kid comes to you as a counselor with gender confusion, you're not allowed to say boys are boys and girls are girls. What you are allowed and maybe even required to say is, I'll help you become more comfortable in your body. If a kid comes, a boy, and he says, I'm a girl, you have to affirm him. And if you don't affirm him, you're engaged in illegal conversion therapy in the state of Colorado. And you could be prosecuted under the law in the state of Colorado. But now the Supreme Court has put a stop to this insanity. If a minor comes to you as a counselor and says, listen, I'm confused about my feelings of sexual attraction, you're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to talk that through. You're not allowed to say, well, you know what? You're 14 years old. You're 15 years old. A lot of kids your age are confused about sexual attraction at 14 or 15 years of age. You're being bombarded by hormones you've never experienced before, and you really don't have any sort of clear line as to how to live your life. So let's talk this thing through. That would be conversion therapy. Because it could be construed as an attempt to change that minor's behavior or reduce, even eliminate, sexual or romantic attraction towards individuals of the same sex. Instead, in the state of Colorado, you were supposed to encourage that minor in his sexual expression, even his sexual dysphoria. That's essentially what the Colorado law said and did. Well, the plaintiff in this case, a person named Kaylee Childs, she holds a master's degree in clinical mental health and a state counseling license in Colorado. And Childs doesn't start counseling with any predetermined goals, according to the Supreme Court. Instead, she sits down with the clients, discusses their goals, and then formulates methods of counseling that will most benefit them, seeking throughout the process to respect her clients' fundamental right of self-determination. But on some matters of sexuality and gender, the clients sometimes have different agendas, according to the Supreme Court. Some are perfectly happy being gay or lesbian or transgender identifying, but others, says the Supreme Court, want to reduce or eliminate unwanted sexual attractions, or change sexual behaviors, or grow in the experience of harmony with their bodies. But under Colorado law, these last people are just out of luck. There's nothing they can do, because if you, for example, as a counselor, want to reduce or eliminate unwanted sexual attractions, you are not allowed as a therapist, as a talk therapist, as a Christian counselor in the state of Colorado to change an individual's behaviors regarding sexual or romantic attractions. Justice Gorsuch wrote for the court a really basic opinion, simple really. It says the First Amendment allows therapists to say what they want during therapy, to say what they want to say. That's basically the opinion of the Supreme Court. 8-1. The only one voting against it dissenting was Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. But here's what Justice Gorsuch wrote. He said, quote, consistent with the First Amendment's jealous protections for the individual's right to think and speak freely, this court has long held that laws regulating speech based on the subject matter or communicative content are presumptively unconstitutional. Justice Gorsuch, writing for the Supreme Court in an 8-1 ruling, defending and upholding the First Amendment and counselors, therapists' right to say what they want to say during therapy. One commentator noted that if the radical left had complete control over the mechanisms of government, they would simply regulate into law all of their most specious and idiotic views about science, sexuality. A world where the state would regulate you, prevent you from telling a minor who is experiencing gender confusion that there's a way through this, a way that doesn't involve you taking on aspects of the other sex physically, emotionally. This observer went on to say that we were this close to that world, by the way, without President Trump as president. We were this close to that world. He says, I really mean that, because President Trump is responsible for several selections on the Supreme Court. And right now, Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor are ruling with the majority. But if there were a bunch of Democrat appointees on the court, is that the way this would have gone? You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, first week of April, 2026. Turning the page, calculating the date of the crucifixion, seven clues tell us precisely when Jesus died, the year, month, day, and even the hour. I found this in the National Catholic Register, April 2020. Just how specific can we be with the death of Jesus? Can we determine the exact day? Well, in the middle of Holy Week, this annual celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection, let's go over that. Well, we all know that this happened in Jerusalem in the first century. This separates Jesus from mythical pagan deities who were supposed to live in places or times that none could specify. But we know that Jesus lived in Jerusalem, in Israel, in Galilee, in the first century. But just how specific can we be with the death of Jesus? Can we determine the exact day? Well, according to the National Catholic Register, in their article of April 2020, we can, and here's how. Seven clues that tell us precisely when Jesus died, the year, month, day, and hour. Number one, clue number one, the high priest Caiaphas. The Gospels indicate that Jesus was crucified at the instigation of the first century high priest, Caiaphas. We read this in Matthew 26, 3 and 4, and John 11, verses 49 to 53. We know from other sources that he served as high priest. Secular sources confirm that Caiaphas served as high priest from AD 18 to AD 36. So that puts Jesus' death in that time frame, AD 18 to AD 36, the time frame of the priesthood of Caiaphas. Clue number two, the governorship of Pontius Pilate. All four Gospels agree that Jesus was crucified on the orders of Pontius Pilate. We see this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know from other sources when he served as governor of Judea. Secular sources cite Pontius Pilate as having been governor of Judea from AD 26 to 36. We're now narrowing down the range of years. But how can we get to a specific day and year? Well, clue number three. After the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, the Gospel of Luke tells us that the ministry of John the Baptist began in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Luke 3, verses 1 and 2. This points to a specific year, AD 29, since all four Gospels depict the ministry of Christ beginning after that of John the Baptist. This means that we can shave a few more years off of our range. The death of Christ had to be in the range of the 7 years between AD 29 and AD 36. Clue number four. He was crucified on a Friday. All four Gospels again agree that Jesus was crucified on a Friday, just before a Sabbath, which was just before the first day of the week. We know that it was a Friday because it is referred to as, quote, the day of preparation. That is, the day on which Jews made the preparations they needed for the Sabbath, since they could not do any work on that day. Thus, they cooked their food in advance and made other necessary preparations. This eliminates 6 of the days of the week, but there were still quite a few Fridays between AD 29 and AD 36. Can we figure out which one, on which day, Jesus our Lord was crucified? Clue number 5. A Friday at Passover. The Gospels also agree that Jesus was crucified in conjunction with the annual feast of Passover. Here we encounter a momentary complication because Matthew, Mark, and Luke describe the Last Supper on Thursday as the Passover meal. That would suggest that Good Friday was the day of after Passover. However, when describing the morning of Good Friday, John indicates that the Jewish authorities had not yet eaten the Passover meal. We see this in John 18, 28-29. Suggesting that the Passover would have begun on sundown Friday. I know, this sounds so very confusing. The article goes on with more of this analysis, but ultimately narrows down the range of possible dates of Jesus' crucifixion in history to just 2 dates. 2 candidates left. Jesus was either crucified on April 7th of AD 30, or April 3rd of AD 33. Which is it? Which was it? The traditional date is that of AD 33, April 3rd, AD 33. But you'll find quite a number of people today advocating the AD 30 date. Thank you for tuning into the Religious Liberty Report, covering the date of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. The clues. We got through number 5. Number 6, John's 3 Passovers. And clue number 7, the ninth hour. After an extensive analysis, the article by the National Catholic Reporter concludes that the date of Jesus' death and crucifixion was around 3 p.m. on Friday, April 3rd, A.D. 33. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves, and Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me this week on the Religious Liberty Report, this Holy Week, 2026. I share this reminder from Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude, verse 3. The idea not to win debates, brothers and sisters, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. Equipping ourselves to better understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, but bold and uncompromising, and yes, always committed to God's word as our guide. Until next time, Alexander Afano signing off for the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other freedom of liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.
Maker, He formed.